Bring it.
This is Turn One Thoughtsies. I'm Aaron.
I'm Jadeen.
And this is episode 90, Junding for Dollars. Jadeen Klomperens of Star City Games fame is joining us this week as Zach is frantically, feverishly testing for the Pro Tour by playing, at last count, 35 drafts.
That is a lot of drafts.
It's a lot of drafts.
It is so many drafts.
So I was, I decided to give him the week off, as it were, because I was like, "Hey, man, I haven't heard anything," and he was like, "Or like the digital equivalent of that."
Sorry, I can't talk right now. My next draft is about to start. I'm in patch 2. I don't really know what I'm going to take, but okay. No podcast this week. Find somebody else. It's okay. Well, I'm here.
Pretty much. So, Jadeen, in a glorious gesture of friendship, decided to take 1,000 hours out of her day to come and record the world's longest podcast.
Literally, somehow I looked at a day that had 24 hours and was like, this needs to have 1,000 hours so I can do the podcast. But I did it.
It's hyperbole.
No, it's fact.
Done. As always, we start off with housekeeping. We have one new patron since the last episode, Chris B. Thank you so much. I believe you popped into the Discord, so that should be all set. If there are any patrons that are still waiting on stuff or don't have the right Discord link or whatever, comments, concerns, considerations, get at me. I am pretty accessible. You can tweet me or email me. All the stuff is at the bottom. The merch store is still open. It is thoughtsies.bigcartel.com. The only thing up there right now is the playmat pre-order. The playmat pre-order is going to go until the end of the month, and then I'm going to shut it down, order them, and then put up the regular order. So if you want to be one of the firstest, bestest, foreverest to get one, you can certainly pre-order it, or you can wait. Or if you are if you're a patron, you're ordering one, let me know in advance. I will apply your patron discount and get those out to people. Deck Builder, the deck building app that Zach and I at least use. I don't know. Do you use Deck Builder?
I do not.
Okay. Well, you should, because it's great. And it is objectively great, and we used it. I've used it for years. Zach has also used it for years. They also sponsor the show. We have our very own vanity link. If you want to go check out their stuff, it's store.decked. D-E-C-K-E-D builder.com/T the number one thoughtsies. We get a little kickback, and it's a good product. We wouldn't have agreed to promote it if we didn't like and use it. So go check their stuff out.
Yeah, I don't use it. I mean, I don't use any deck builder thing, so it's not like I'm using a competitor, but like, I wouldn't click on half the awful decks you send me if it weren't for the fact that they looked really pretty in the link.
Exactly.
So they've got a nice product.
Boom. Value. This is also starting with the last Turn One Thoughtsies episode. There was a Turn One Thoughtsies episode, a Turn One Wild Nacatl episode, and then this is the next Turn One Thoughtsies episode. So it'll be the second one to use the split episode format. So there'll be a break in the middle. Make sure you download both parts. It'll just show up in your podcast stream as part one, part two. So if you want to hear the whole show, then you can listen to both. It should be pretty seamless. And people seemed to like it with episode 88. So we're going to keep doing it until people tell us to stop. the events of the week. Man, people are real passionate about candy. Turns out.
That's weird.
We're not going to... It is weird. It was very weird. I was not expecting... So I just randomly posted about, like, what I consider to be the objectively best candies. And York Peppermint Patties, obviously, is number one. And I'd be darned if hundreds upon hundreds of people, much like the episode where I said that Terminus should be banned, I had hundreds upon hundreds of people come out of the woodwork to tell me what an idiot I am.
They were all just out there waiting for the chance.
I mean, they really were. I should have seen some of the comments that I got, like, in the about, you know, I was like, you know, either you can either have, like, Jace or Teferi or Terminus, like, pick two out of the three, but, like, one of them should go. And, like, everybody who ever put an island in a card sleeve was like, you're the biggest idiot ever. And I was like, okay, cool. Got it. I got it. I was not expecting that response level and intensity with regards to candy. But,
I mean, in, like, everybody's defense, you just didn't mention any of the good candy.
All the candy on here is top shelf. Peppermint patties, Almond Joy, Boston Baked Beans, Original Mars Bars, rest in peace, they are no longer in production, Peanut M&Ms, all wonderful.
Where are the sour Skittles? Where are the sweet tarts? Where is the good candy?
I apparently just have, like, terrible taste in candy, which is not true, but I have wonderful taste in candy. I had to explain what some of these were to our friends overseas, who have, apparently they don't have peppermint patties. They have something that is basically a Mounds, but it has a different name. And yeah, so it was a learning and friendship journey. So anyways, if you're interested in finding out what every, like, person that I know on Twitter's candy rankings are, I had to go down to top 10 because people were really disappointed. They were like, where's the Skittles? Like, where's all the fruit stuff? And I was like, I don't really like fruit stuff. Anyways, candy. So this episode is going to be no more modern all candy. It's candy talk from here on in.
Turn one candy.
Yeah, I feel like we can do better. Smarties cereal.
Yikes.
I didn't know Smarties made a cereal. They don't. It's just Smarties and milk.
Yikes.
I explained the break-even challenge to you, correct?
You did.
Okay. So, for anybody who missed last episode, or possibly even the episode before that, I've decided to take a month in the shoes of the SCG circuit grinder. I am approximately 2.5 or 3 weeks in. It is rough. I like my sleep is suffering. My interpersonal relationships are suffering. Like, is that an accurate depiction of, like, the sacrifices that a committed grinder makes?
Oh yeah. I mean, okay. It's life is magic, and that's not great.
Yes. Well, we can touch on that later. So at this point, I think I'm still in the range. I almost got screwed on the plane ticket. There was like a little blip where it was really cheap, and I was like, oh, all right, I'll do it on whatever, actually, like, 2 days later. And then I go back 2 days later, and it was like $250 on Thursday and like $400 on Saturday. And I was like, well, that's not gonna work, because, like, I love everyone who's sort of, like, involved in this. Asterisk, I'm not gonna spend $400 on a plane ticket. Like, that is unreasonable to me.
Plane ticket prices are so fickle. You're just always changing.
They are. So eventually I did some sleuthing, and I managed to catch one out of New Haven, which has an airport, which I didn't even know. And apparently they fly two flights a day from New Haven to Charlotte.
That's the life. That's how you find the good flights.
And like just a weirdly specific route. So I was like, okay, got it, done, sold. So I booked the tickets. I did not originally take into account the travel from the airport to like the area where the tournament actually takes place, which is like 30 plus minutes away. It's sort of like a GP New Jersey or like GP New York, but it's actually New Jersey kind of thing.
Mm-hmm,
this is like SCG Charlotte, but it's actually in Concord.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the map yet. I will be driving there, so it's not as important for me.
Yes, understood. Well, it's like a, is a very, it's an optimistic 12-hour drive from here.
That never stopped me.
No, I understand that. But this is like, I'm dipping my toe, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. I don't need the
12-hour drive on top of everything else. Yeah. No, I get it.
That's like National Lampoon level, not interested.
Oh, it's a time. It is a time.
Yeah. But well, and I just sleep in the car. So like, as long as somebody else is driving, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Oh, but, yeah, that's nothing. It doesn't matter. But you got to find somebody else willing to drive 12 hours at that point. So
exactly.
That's hard.
It was easier to just pay American Airlines $280.
Oh, yeah. Way easier.
So for the beginning part of this testing or this project, I was like, OK, Assassin's Trophy, like Green Black is my jam. I've played it forever. And like even played it when it was not great and still did okay with it. Now it's like got this huge shot in the arm. I'm going to play this deck. It's going to be amazing. And I like couldn't win a match to save my life. I was like setting tickets on fire. Literally would have been better to like, I don't know, somehow get a refund check from Wizards for the tickets that I hadn't used yet and just literally set it on fire.
Yikes. And it was
extremely frustrating. And and I don't know what, I was never able to like objectively identify what the problem was, other than like very regularly getting paired against burn, which is almost impossible to beat for that deck. So I was like, okay. I went through a number of iterations trying to like fix the deck or like make the deck work in sort of my estimation, and like spent a ton of time doing that, tested a bunch of variations, none of them really worked. And so I was like, all right, fine. I went to the game store, went to the local game store, and I was telling my bad beat stories, and one of the guys that works there was like, when in doubt, Jund them out. Just like looked me straight in the eye and said that. And I was like, you know what? I think you're right.
Is the guy who said that who I think it is?
It was Dan. Oh, so okay. Probably not.
No, that's a shame. Still wise words. Very so, right, smart individual.
Correct. Yes. And I, as a rule, I do not generally take this person's advice, just because it's usually not relevant to my like everyday life. In this particular instance, it was the nugget. It was what I needed. So I came home and I was like, all right, I'm doing it. Like I have all the stuff for it. So actually that's not true. I had to pick up the chokes, and I didn't feel like digging out my Jund charm wherever it is. So I was like, all right, fine. Give me two chokes and a Jund charm. it wasn't particularly expensive. So then I enlisted the help of Emma, and I was like, all right. So we did one coaching session of like, did we do the first one of green, black? See, now I'm trying to remember.
I believe you did.
Yeah, I think we did. Okay. So we did one session with green, black, and it went very poorly. Owing, you know, through no fault of hers. But good insights, good coaching. There was like a week break, and I was like, okay. So I made this change, and like, I sent her a message, and I was like, hey, I'm on Jund. This is what's happening. Let's do this. Decided on a list, and then came back, and I was like, all right, coach, I'm ready. Put me in. Boom, boom. So go into a league, talk through a bunch of the like decisions in terms of like the land fetching was a lot more intricate than I was expecting.
Yep. Adding another color will do that. Things get a little more complicated.
So, yeah, exactly. I wasn't just like, oh, I'll go get an overgrown tomb. So that was, that took some getting used to. I kind of got the hang of that. And then went in. I think I was 2-1 when we finished. And then we wrapped up and I finished out the league 4-1.
Boom.
Much rejoicing. My only loss was to a very like fortunate series of draws for a green stompy opponent.
Sure.
And a series of unfortunate draws for me. So
it's how it be sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes it do be like that. And an aspect of Hydra will get you.
Yikes, yeah.
It done got me. So but that was the only thing that I dropped, and you know, like beat real decks for the rest of it. So it was like I beat blue white control and Tron, and then I went on and beat Bogles, which is kind of a buy because like playing a main deck Edict is sort of.
I bet an Assassin's Trophy made that much better. Ooh, I haven't had the pleasure yet, but the Bogles matchup was always like really swingy. It was like, if they opened with Leyline of Sanctity, you probably couldn't win. But if they didn't, you probably couldn't lose. Right. So.
Well, they were playing Geist of Saint Traft and Invisible Stalker in the main.
Wow.
So I was like, all right, like I gotta work for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, like the built-in 2-for-1 of Daybreak Coronet and a single enchantment,
mm-hmm,
pretty much carried the day. I was like, oh, Assassin's Trophy, your Hyena Umbra, your Daybreak Coronet falls off.
Boom.
And
like, enjoy your basic land.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's like that, and then like, oh, your guy dies in combat, and then I eat it with my Scavenging Ooze, and then so just it was that basically for two rounds.
Sounds like a party.
It was for me. It was. I'm sure the Bogles person was unhappy. Oh, then I did get to Maelstrom Pulse two Core Spirit Dancers, and that felt really good.
Wow, that's yep. Sweet.
GGs. Yes. So I'm jending. I'm locked in. I have like probably. I think the most recent list that I sent you, which I will post in the show notes, I think is probably minimum like 73 of the 75 cards that I'm going to play.
You're feeling pretty confident then.
Well, I mean the SCG metagame is a little narrower than just like anything in the entire world.
That's true.
So having a data set that's like a little more clustered, I can be like, okay, so like I expect spirits to be overrepresented compared to like just every event that ever existed. Like probably Jeskai, Burn, like that kind of stuff. Sort of expect to be higher. Mm-hmm. And then people just playing green black because Assassin's Trophy, and then I'm sure there will be some other genders.
Plenty of Storm aficionados on the SCG Storm. Tour.
Yes, many Stormers. So I
Dredge.
Well, Dredge I think is the thing, right? Because the stuff that I'm consistently losing to is like Burn and Dredge are the hardest, the toughest nuts to crack thus far. Like I've beaten Blue White Control. Like I always beat them in three, but it's like play, draw, play. Mm-hmm. You usually win the ones that are on the play. If you can keep seven, it's usually pretty solid. Playing a Dreadborn in the main has been fantastic.
Planeswalkers deserve to die.
Correct. So yes, so I've been doing that. So I'll give the event is not this weekend, but next weekend. So obviously there will be no show next weekend because I will be away. After that, the show after that will be sort of the wrap up and the spreadsheet of like, right, all the stuff and see how close I got to breaking even. So we shall see, but I feel good about the stuff. Feel good about the deck. Feel good about the choices.
Perfect.
So we're on track. Guilds of Ravnica has been making some splashes in Modern. Thoughts?
Did you just call Guilds of Ravnica a Magikarp?
I mean, it is splashing, so I guess, but then eventually it tackles. So it is both splashing and tackling.
Guilds of Ravnica is sweet. I don't know that. I don't really keep up that much with how much sets affect Modern, but it feels like something hasn't been this impactful in a bit. Teferi out of Dominaria is pretty big.
Yeah. I mean, previous to that, like, a lot of, there were a bunch of stragglers from, like, Shadows block.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just some notable fringe cards. I don't know. I guess Bedlam Reveler doesn't really count as a fringe card. It's, like, part of a tier deck.
Finally got there. It was fringe for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Tireless Tracker.
Like, Guilds Last is... Hope. Guilds is a multicolor set. Multicolor sets always hit Modern harder because they're just, like, more powerful, more efficient.
Yeah, I mean, Creeping Chill, obviously, is... In my head, Creeping Chill is, like, the star of this particular show. I mean, like, Assassin Trophy, obviously, like, is good and does... put some downward pressure on nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like it's a good anti-shenanigans card, but it didn't like resurrect an entire archetype from like tier three status like Creeping Chill did.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about Dredge. Like, how bad was Dredge before? How much better did Creeping Chill make it? I don't really have good answers to those questions. I suspect that it's not as big of a difference as it appears, but Creeping Chill is really good in the deck.
Yeah, it's, I guess it feels worse. I will say that, like, definitely from being on the receiving end of it, definitely feels worse than like Grave Troll.
Oh yeah. I 3-2'd a league yesterday with Burn, and I lost both times to Dredge. Just, how do I beat Creeping Chill? I don't.
You don't. Because they get to cast their Lightning Helix for 0 mana.
Yeah, that is just a gross number to be casting spells for.
Value.
Too much. Too much value.
It's literally insurmountable value. I lost my last match of the last league that I played. I lost, my opponent had... one card left in their library and I was at 3 life, and the next to last card in their library was Creeping Chill.
Did it.
And they certainly did it. And they were at one. And I had, like, double Anger of the Gods wipe their board twice for, like a 9-2. And, like, had an active Scavenging Ooze, and it still just wasn't enough.
Not enough. Not good enough.
And that is a very disappointing state of affairs.
Oh, yeah.
Right. All of those things should be good enough. So, yeah, when you combine Creeping Chill with a Conflagrate, it really starts to get big, because, like, the swings are big. They don't get punished for just, like, having cards in hand, because they're just like, oh, like, fireball you for 9 after a Life from the Loam, and then also dredge back my Stinkweed Imp, 12 you, you're dead.
Aren't you on record saying that dredge is basically a burn deck now?
I am, and it is. Because that's, like, they're now playing 3 Conflagrates and 4 essentially Lightning Helixes. And then they've got a bunch of 2-power creatures that often have haste. And, like, I haven't lost to a Prize Amalgam in a minute. But I certainly have lost to, like, double Lightning Helix Conflagrate you. And that seems to be the way that the deck is sort of functioning optimally right now. So that sounds like a burn deck to me.
Yeah, I mean, the creatures are still there. They're still plan A, but, you know, the burn plan is also there, also very good. I was playing burn yesterday. The guy mills an Ancient Grudge, and I'm like, what did they bring an Ancient Grudge against me for? And then, you know, somebody in the room told me, oh, it's for Ensnaring Bridge. And I'm like, that doesn't seem good. And they're like, yeah, you know, they could just burn you out if you draw Ensnaring Bridge. All those things. Probably don't need to play Ancient Grudge. I'm like, I agree.
Yeah. I will say that is definitely one of the... I have a lot of bad sideboarding habits that have sort of built up over the past years. And that was definitely something that we worked on in the coaching sessions, was like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, habit. Like, that's the real answer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have all sorts of bad habits. All of us.
Yes.
Gotta fix them.
Yes. I don't think that people have sort of reached peak Assassin's Trophy yet in terms of, like, where it belongs in, like, a main board sideboard, because it replaces so many sideboard cards that, like, I always want, I think, 2 in the main deck, and I probably even sometimes want 3, but I really can't imagine that I want 4.
I agree. You really don't want to cast the card on 2, and that's something that you'll end up doing if you have 4 in the deck, because you'll just have 2 in your hand and nothing else to do. So you're either taking a huge tempo hit or casting it too early. But yeah, card's good. It's so flexible, right? It just kills anything, and that makes it really hard to understand all the ramifications, I don't think. I think lists are going to take a month or 2 to settle before we really figure it out.
Yeah. Night of Autumn. Plenty of blowouts there. Like, Collected Company into double Night of Autumn, gain 8, is a real thing that happens, and it is made green white almost playable.
It's a good human sideboard card.
It is a good human sideboard card.
Not even a human, good human sideboard card.
I mean, like, they play other non-humans.
That's true. They play,
I mean, like,
Gaddock Teague for a little bit. Yep.
Like, that is very important to keep you from getting Ugin'd,
mm-hmm.
because you will lose.
Yep, not being a human, not a disqualifier for the human sideboard.
No, it's, you know, I mean, obviously, maintain the core, but there's no equivalent. I mean, they were even playing Rexage. Like, mm-hmm. in the beginning, there was a hot minute where they were playing Vithian Renegades,
mm-hmm.
because it was like ETB, destroy an artifact, but it was also a human. But it was just, like, this really gawky, weird thing, and it didn't hit enchantment. So eventually they were just like, oh, like Ancient Ziggurat can still cast this. I can still get this off my Aether Vial. It's really not that big a deal.
Night of Autumn is such an upgrade to Reclamation Sage, yes, whatever the name of that card is. Like, ugh, you do all the same thing, and you also have all of these other modes. That is a nice upgrade.
Yeah. So, Night of Autumn, quite good. Pelt Collector has not made a splash at an event yet, but it is all over Magic Online. The interaction between Pelt Collector and Vexing Devil is insane. Like, Pelt Collector on one, Vexing Devil, get a trigger, and then you're like, do I take four or no? And if you decide to take the four and kill it, it's still, like, there's another Pelt Collector trigger. So now you have taken four, and you have a 3/3 trample that you, like, you still have to deal with. And so that the deck can sort of go off very quickly. And it's the evolution of, like, Bushwhacker Zoo now with larger creatures.
That is quite the interaction. That is a scary Pelt Collector.
It's, yeah, and you have to, right, like, it's the classic Punisher thing, right? Like, you're gonna pick whichever one is better for you at that time, but it solves the Punisher problem in the sense that both of the choices are always bad. So, you know, like, if you have one Fatal Push in your hand and you take four because you can kill the other guy, like, you still took four damage. Like, mm-hmm. they still outrated you by quite a bit. And, you know, sometimes you're just going to be like, oh, Burning Tree Emissary, Pelt Collector, Vexing Devil. Like, now what are you going to do?
Take a lot of damage, one way or another.
Correct. And then, like, Reckless Bushwhacker gets into the mix, and it's just it's a whole thing.
It sounds like an ordeal.
Mercifully, it's usually a very short ordeal, because it's just like, oh, like, 6U, 12U, oh, you shocked, you're dead.
Oh, yeah.
Arclight Phoenix, Runaway Steamkin, Best of Friends. I believe that Arclight Phoenix has a place in regular old, like, standard Mardu. Or not standard format Mardu, but sort of like stock Mardu.
Oh, like the tokens list? Yeah, I've seen a little bit of that floating around.
Like, early on, I felt so vindicated, because I was like, this is legit. I literally took out the Lingering Souls and put in four Arclight Phoenix, and, like, switched around a couple of things. Like, I added Gut Shots and, like, went up to four Metamorphos, and it was just like, all right, let's do this. Faithless Looting, dump a guy, Gut Shot your thing. Like, you're just, you know, it speeds up the clock so much more. Like, that was the perceived and actual problem of playing Mardu, is, like, Lingering Souls is so pokey without, like, Sorin or Intangible Virtue, like, something to just push some damage through with them.
Yeah, I played a lot of Mardu, and that was definitely the problem. Just, you can't kill anybody fast enough when they're doing something that's much more powerful or you don't interact with very well. Like, when you're playing against Tron, it just doesn't matter how long, you give them so long, so you can Thought Seize them into oblivion, and eventually they'll just have eight lands and play an Ugin and the game's over.
Yep. Yeah, so Phoenix definitely solves that problem. You know, I mean, it turns off the downside of Bedlam Reveler. It's just, so from a sort of fair Magic perspective, I think it belongs in that deck in some capacity.
Sure.
And then there was some naysayer. It may have been Zach. He may have been naysaying me, because I remember then Jerry Thompson, like, jumped on his stream and he was like, I'm playing Arclight Phoenix and Mardu, and I was like, yeah. So I sent this, like, horrible gloat message to like to somebody, and I was just like, oh, check it out, it's Jerry's yearly stream, and what's he doing? He's playing Arclight Phoenix and Mardu like you do. And so I had a lot of, as your household would say, a lot of gloat equity came out of that particular turn of events. It was very, very satisfying for me.
Well done. You really won that one.
I did. Runaway Steamkin also, I think, has a place. I don't know if it is in that deck, but...
probably Daniela, not. In yeah, that deck, just you want all your spells to be red, no question.
Oh, that's right. It only triggers our red spells. I haven't like, I've not dug into Runaway Steamkin yet, because it has a more combo-ish feel, and I do not excel at playing combo decks. So I kind of like looked at it. And I was like, oh yeah, yep, that's a thing. Combo enabler. However, the Steamkin Romance deck, created by Daniela Holy Diva Diaz of the Canary Islands, Spain, is a ridiculous deck that is sort of like half Storm and half Arclight Phoenix, Runaway Steamkin, Bedlam Reveler, just like shenanigans.
Oh, yeah. You know.
And so she put it out there and was like, did a couple versions of it, found one that worked, and now people are just like 5-0-ing with it all over the place.
It seems to be getting a lot of traction and a lot of attention, and it's the kind of deck where I just stare at the list of cards and I'm like, I don't know if this is good or not, but if it is, I am terrified.
Yes, it is a deck that like, as opposed to all of the other decks that I have put Fiery Temper into, this is a deck where Fiery Temper is actually very good.
Oh, yeah. What a delightful Fiery Temper deck.
Like, having 4 Lightning Bolts is great. Having 8 Lightning Bolts is even better. And when those Lightning Bolts are also often drawing you cards because it's part of a Faithless Looting or, like, Tormenting Voice, it's just everything. So I think there's a shell. There's variations on that shell that are, like, you know, have not had time to have been explored yet because...
Because the set's been out for 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's like, the deck is less than a month old. But like people are already sort of doing variations of it, adding different colors. So it's really, really interesting. Like she's definitely a deck builder that I look up to.
Absolutely.
And also like not for nothing, but decks that I make, if I don't have time to test them, which is almost never, you know, like I will goldfish something to the point where I think it's decent, and then I will ship her the list, and like for the low price of like, I subscribe to her stream with my like Amazon Prime thing, so like my Bezos bucks go to her, and then she will do a league for subscribers for $10.
It's a good price. Can't beat that price.
You literally cannot beat, like, not that like my time is so valuable that like, you know, I'm out here like mining gold, but like I don't have the time to test every deck that I want to test. I don't have time to, you know, get feedback that I want from somebody, you know, whose work I admire. I mean, it's just like, it's ridiculous. So like I've been working on this Bug Death Shadow list for a long time. And so I'm on like version 6 and I hadn't updated it since before guilds. And I was like, this deck needs Assassin's Trophy. Threw the Assassin's Trophies in there, like shipped it over, bing, bang, boom. She ran through league with it, you know, post game, and was like, okay, here's the changes I would make. Da, 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 da. And like that has a tremendous amount of value that I don't think that people who don't do a lot of like brewing and deck building, like serious deck building in terms of like making something as competitive as it can be, appreciate like having a tester that's not you to actually like take it out and be able to objectively look at it and be like, this doesn't work. This does work. You should maybe try this, blah, 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 you know.
Getting another perspective is really valuable. Not just like, you make the mistake once, nobody tells you about it. You're not just going to magically realize it was a mistake. You need somebody to point it out to you, or you're just going to keep thinking you were right. And just, it's good to have somebody else look at things.
It is. So highly recommend. Like, she's definitely my deck tester of choice. There's some stuff that hasn't quite broken through yet, and I think that it's really just a matter of people are still sort of playing with the obvious stuff, and it hasn't sort of like filtered down to the secondary mechanics that actually have cards that are very powerful.
I'm looking at the show notes here, and you're gonna have to sell me on these.
All right, well, let me get Torch Courier out of the way, because it's an upgrade for a single deck.
So
which is goblins.
For the record, you're saying that Torch Courier is your easiest sell right now.
This absolutely.
All right, let's go.
Like,
tell Torch me all Courier. About your 1/1 with haste.
Torch Courier, get in for one. Turn two.
Aggressive. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm at 19.
Raging Goblin. Turn two, Warren Instigator, give it haste, get in for two, dump my hand, have a bunch of goblins for free on turn two.
So your position is that the tempo boost of connecting with Warren Instigator on turn two is a huge deal, and that connecting your two card combo in your mono red no selection deck is a huge boost.
It adds a nut draw scenario that the deck didn't have.
It does before. Do that. Absolutely. Turn two Instigator, like if you're on the play, you know, they might just have a tap land and your Instigator connects, whereas if they got two on tap, they whatever, Assassin's Trophy, Fatal Push, Lightning Bolt, who knows. The world is their oyster if they get two turns to answer your Instigator. So yeah, that is a powerful interaction. I don't disagree.
Yep.
Torch Courier itself is a very bad card. So it takes a powerful interaction to make it worthwhile. And sure. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, but there, I guess my point is that there is one.
Mm-hmm. No, there absolutely is.
At least one.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So that was my easy one. I think Surveil as a mechanic is powerful enough. It is enough of an upgrade over Scry that at the very least, what's the two mana split card? The almost preordain?
Dispersal.
Yeah, Discovery Dispersal. Mm-hmm. Like I think that card, There is a deck out there that can abuse that card to the point where it becomes more than a role player.
Sure.
And I have not figured out what that deck is, nor has anyone else. It is likely a Grixis deck, probably. Like I'm very interested in it for one mana. So having like Electromancer, some other cost reducer would be ideal.
Cause sure.
Because then it's just better preordain. So Grixis ? Could be like there are already bug mid-range decks that have traverse packages like that would be interested in this. It has like upside with Dark Confidant. It has, you know, and it is similar to Explore or like Grimflare. Like the Grimflare Dark Confidant interaction where you like just stack the top of your deck,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, don't take your damage and do your thing. This has similar implications. So it could be there. I refuse to give up on disinformation campaign.
It's a hard sell that the card that synergizes with exactly cards in one set is going to make it into the format that has so many sets. Like, you're trying to play Guild Block Constructed in modern format. That just seems like with a better mana base.
Surprisingly, the mana base actually isn't that much better. Like,
you already have Watery Grave, so I guess it isn't.
Like, it's marginally better in that you get, like, you get fetches and you get Dark Slick Shores, and I guess you get, like, Sunken Ruins, but that's not really necessary. So, the closest that I've come so far is, like, Blue-Black Fairies with the Surveil Fairy, Discovery Dispersal, Disinformation Campaign, and, like, Spell Stutter Sprite, Quickling, like, that whole thing.
Also, and then, in what world is make your opponent discard a card for 3 mana good enough for modern? Like,
But it's not 3 mana discard a card. It's 3 mana you discard, I draw.
Isn't modern, like, the turn 3.5 format where you don't have time to mess around with things like you discard one card and I draw one card?
If I'm spending, like, the first 2 or 3 turns, like, shredding your hand, playing Bitter Blossom, and then just, like, countering your spells, yes. Because then you have forced interaction at that point. So it's, nobody's going to be, well, it's not nobody. People will still be able to, like, execute their plan A through, like, 2 turns of 3 discard spells, but not many decks will be able to do that. Like, you, at least 2 of those are probably going to be time walks.
Sure.
So it gives you extra, like, breathing room to set up. You just have to, it's a way of, like, recovering that tempo loss from playing the discard spells early on.
3 mana is still a hard sell, but all right. Surveil is better than Scry. I mean, I get that. I think the cards are, like, pretty below rate.
So yeah, I
guess we'll see.
We shall see. And then Mentor, I do think there's something to that. Like,
the 8 Rabble Master deck?
I don't know if it's that specifically, but, like, it's certainly, like, Legion Warboss certainly makes Lingering Souls better.
That's true. That's true.
You know, like, that's a real thing. So, I don't know, once again, like, I don't know where he lives. I don't know where that interaction gets maximized, but I think it is powerful enough that it could find a home if somebody either made a home for it or stumbled upon a home for it.
Sure.
So that is that's my piece about Mentor. So this is the break. When we come back, we will be talking about tacking the SCG metagame. I will whinge about Tireless Tracker. We'll talk about Graveyard Hate at the Patreon mailbag. Social media blurb, spice rack, huzzah, and then put a big old bow on it.
Nice.